So kia ora and welcome everybody to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson and you're listening to Manawatu People's Radio. And my guest this morning is a young man who's been in the news quite a lot lately, actually, Ali Mohammed. So welcome, Ali. How are you?
Good, Lorna. Thank you very much for having me. I'm Ali Mohammed, from Afghanistan. I came to New Zealand in late 2015, October to be exact. At the moment, I'm doing my final year of my degree, studying in a Bachelor of Applied Science in Exercise and Wellness at UCL, majoring in Sport and Recreation Management.
That's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, like, to be honest, in terms of when we say like applied science, people think of medical imaging rather than it's exercise and wellness. So I had to kind of give my explanations a bit of time. So that is my degree. In terms of my hobbies, I'm a football referee. This year I've been selected to referee as an assistant referee and a fourth official in the National Women's League of New Zealand. In terms of, I'm also a cricket umpire. That's correct, yeah. So this year I've managed to get my cricket umpiring level 4 qualification, which enables me to reach the highest level of cricket umpiring qualification in New Zealand, and which enables me to umpire any level of cricket in New Zealand, which is fantastic. I've got a follow-on cup game this year, December, which is quite exciting, between Manawatu and Hawke's Bay, up in Hawke's Bay. So that is kind of my journey. So I started refereeing football in 2017 when I was at final year of my high school.
How old were you started refereeing?
I was 17.
17? Wow.
Yeah, so it's been like almost like this is my fourth season now. So yeah, and I started my umpiring cricket in 2019. So my third full season that I've been umpiring cricket. But yeah, it definitely has been quite a good journey. I've managed to get good success quite in a short span of time, which has been fantastic. But again, that owes to a big amount to the people that I've managed to get around me, my mentors and my coaches, which has been fantastic. They've worked day and night to ensure I reach my goals. So massive thanks to them. Other than that, I'm on a couple of boards. Last week I was selected to be on the board as a board member at Manawatu Multicultural Council. I'm also a youth coordinator at Manawatu Afghan Society, my own community, and I'm also a communication advisor at Forest and Bird Youth as well. And my role over there is to just give marketing insights around for ethnic communities and how we can engage them in the conservation area. That's just a bit about myself. Thank you.
Gosh, I feel tired just listening to all of them. You've clearly got a big passion for your sports and also just for getting involved in the community. Would that be fair?
My passion for, I remember as far as back as I can remember back home in Pakistan, I think I was 2 or 3, when was the first time I picked a cricket bat back home. As you know, in Pakistan, like, if you've heard, cricket's quite big.
Would you say the national game in Pakistan?
The hockey is the national game, but cricket is much bigger than that, because the only reason that hockey was a national sport because we managed to get a lot of success in our early years. We won the Commonwealth in 1950s, I think. So something like that. So but definitely cricket is now at the moment, since the past
few decades,
number one sport, the most played and followed in the country. So my journey started from 2 or 3, and since then I've been a big sports geek since back then.
Tell us a little bit about your journey to New Zealand. Because you've mentioned you're from Afghanistan, but you've also mentioned living in Pakistan. So just talk people through how it was. So how old were you when you came to New Zealand?
15.
So before you were 15, you're on your third country at least. Talk us through that kind of journey from Afghanistan, Pakistan to New Zealand. How did you end up here?
So unfortunately, though Afghanistan is my home country, I've never had the pleasure of being there. So my parents moved to Pakistan in early 1990s because of when the first time when the Taliban took over the country, they decided to move to Pakistan, where it was much more safer. And then another reason was poverty. So the economy, very similar to now, was quite in a better situation back then as well. So there were a couple of reasons. So the families of my parents decided to move to Pakistan to look for better opportunities. So I was born in Pakistan in 2000. I grew up over in Pakistan. So I came to New Zealand when I was 15. So I did my early education. Since year eight, I think I did my education over there. I used to go to English classes. Which was instrumental role in settling here in New Zealand.
So you already had English when you came as a 15-year-old.
As you are aware that Pakistan is a British colonized country, so English is quite common. And then there's a lot of English language centers where people can go for an hour a day and then 5 days a week, and then they can just learn English, so how to interact in English. My mother used to push me to get to those English classes.
And now you're thanking her, aren't you?
So I could speak like four languages and also can talk as well. So
hang on a minute. Four languages. Tell us what languages you speak.
So my mother tongue is Dari, which is a language that I speak at home, and then English I can speak of, and I can Urdu. I can write and read and speak Urdu comfortably. I can understand Hindi and also talk in Hindi, but cannot write in Hindi. So I could understand Persian as well, though I got difficulty speaking the Persian language, but it's like very similar to like British English and American English accents, just different between Dari and Persian. But I can read Persian quite well, so it's like kind of five in total. So
wow.
So it's like it's beneficial of like being in all over the place, and So in that regard, I'm considering myself quite lucky. Other day I put it on LinkedIn as well. I believe if food is to get to the reach of the people of a person, language is to the soul. So it's like language is plays quite an instrumental role in terms of being around people and also getting people to know in a more deeper way. Because of my language, I've got quite good Indian friends, Pakistani friends. We can joke in English, in our own languages quite comfortably. And then it's a better way of getting into. I would have really struggled if I didn't have Hindi with my Indian friends. So that's played definitely a major role in terms of settling well, in terms of being, as we all know, Pakistan is quite a multicultural city. Yeah. So in the regards, it's been to very good use of
So when you arrived here, did you come with your parents?
My father had been disappeared in Afghanistan since 2010 because when we were living in Pakistan, because my father couldn't work because we were not a Pakistan citizen, so he had to go and work. Unfortunately, he had been missing. He gone missing since 2010. We had just managed to find him. I think 4 months ago. From now on, So I came to New Zealand with my mother and my three siblings. In 2015.
So goodness, that's an extraordinary experience to go through. A family member missing for 11 years.
And being the eldest son, children in the family, and all the responsibility fell on you. Comes on here. And reflecting back then, I was only 10 as well. So there was quite some tough times. But there's also, to me, I was learning in Vegas. So great learning journey. And also taking everything, to me, being really appreciative now what I've got everything. So reflecting back to what I had, nothing, absolutely. I had nothing. I was devastated. We were almost starvation. We didn't have much food. We were to me, living was on day-to-day basis was quite tough. Reflecting back now, I've got a roof over my head. To me, I always believe in being safe, having a family, having a roof over your head, and something to eat for dinner. That is the most important thing you need. Everything else is a bonus, to be honest. To be honest, I still remember one of my friends he was going to enter the city in 2014, and he was killed, you know, on the road, and he was only 15. I could have been, that could be the same fate with me. But reflecting back, if I wouldn't been here in New Zealand by now, I would have been, because I couldn't also study. So in Pakistan, if you're until year 8, you can go to the school education system. But if you are not Pakistan citizen after your year 9, because it goes through NCA level, you must show that you're Pakistan citizen. Otherwise, you couldn't get your education. So
right.
If I wouldn't come to New Zealand in 2015, I would have been kicked out of school, couldn't get education in Pakistan. So yeah, and to be honest, I got no idea what I could would have become. To me, I would have become a drug person, to be honest, like that, or I could have...
Or how you would have even survived.
To be honest, it would have been really, really tough. So there's like kind of those life experiences that definitely I don't see them kind of as regrets. Back then, I used to always question myself every day, like, why is me, like, to be honest? Like, why I had to be born in this kind of environment? But again, there's been a great learning curve. I've got those skills that people cannot, like, can't get understanding of in 50 years of their lives, but I didn't, or one decade of my life.
And that's probably what drives you now. This is why you're such a high achiever, isn't it? Do you not think that this early years difficulty and hardship is what's driving you now?
Yeah, to be honest, last couple of weeks ago, I was devastated that. One of Afghan women's football team players was killed. Just because she was a footballer, to be honest, like that. And then just reflecting right now that I have got the same passion in what I could do, freedom, and people support me to be in that role. While some people really don't have the opportunities, and they even, to be honest, like they even get killed, to be honest, to just know that they've got the same passion. So, yeah.
So this was in Afghanistan, wasn't it?
Just a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah. I think I was just reading a story last night. Though 50 of Afghan women's football team players were rescued to go to Australia. There was a few that were still left in Pakistan and Afghanistan. And then, one of them a couple of weeks ago, and then in front of their kids, they were slaughtered to death. So there's kind of some of the things that I don't take for granted. Some of, like, education, to be honest, like, is so important to me, because, like, to be honest, like, most of my sisters and brothers back home don't have the right to education. We're in New Zealand, we take it for so much for granted. People back home don't have things to eat, you know, it's like they die of starvation, while I can comfortably say that I've got something to eat for dinner. So so I definitely, like, to be honest, take all of those, to be honest, like, the privileges that I have in New Zealand, definitely not for granted. Every single day I'm thankful for whatever I have, and to be honest, like, sometimes just like the feelings of being helplessness just kills me from inside. Like, I wish, like, I could do something for someone. It's just like, just not. But I just want to, like, work hard and achieve and become something where I could contribute to the wider society, to the vulnerable, to be reflecting. I really want to go, hopefully, back one day and support my own people, to be honest.
Very, very hard situation to be in, isn't it, to see... atrocities happening in your home country, see things happening to people who are just like you. And it's obviously very tough and it's emotional. I think we all feel that. I'm Lorna Johnson. My guest today, Ali Mohammed, from Afghanistan via Pakistan, who's been living in New Zealand since 2015. So, Ali, just before the break, we were talking about some of the terrible, terrible things happening in Afghanistan at the moment, and New Zealand's response to that, which I'll say this anyway, and you can add your comment in. Which I would have liked to have seen us do more as a country. In terms of, New Zealand's response to world crises and acceptance of refugees, and what's your thought on that?
So personally, when the tragic incidents were unfolding in Afghanistan, I expected a lot of my fellow New Zealanders to, even if they cannot contribute in any other way, to talk that what's happening in Afghanistan is wrong. But unfortunately, like, throughout the whole week of unfortunate scenes that were unfolding, there was absolute silence, and that was quite. And then the amount of negativity that I unfortunately saw on across social media, and then I kind of text like some of the high profile people that I knew I've came across over my life, and then I text and email them, send them through like text through LinkedIn, like this, like some of the stuff is happening and it's kind of wrong, and people would have come back to me like, sorry, we don't have the details. We cannot talk much about that. While you have got the whole, like all of the media are focusing on Afghanistan throughout the whole week, and there was so much like information available. And then, so there was, I was quite personally disappointed with absolute silence, as well as on social media from everyday New Zealanders. General comment was like, we don't want to have any more refugees. But if you think in the first place, why people has to get to Afghanistan, why people are, to be honest, like nobody wants ever to be a refugee. It's never, no. Like, it's never by choice, to be honest. People, when like we don't want any more refugees, refugees are useless, they don't contribute to our New Zealand society. So there was kind of a very kind of emotional in that regard. I thought we would have a
support. How did that make you feel, reading that?
To be honest, it was like, again, so it was on the one hand, it was like things were unfolding in Afghanistan, which I really couldn't do. But in the same place, I was trying to educate people around what's happening, what's wrong, let's talk. And then the response was, it was a sense
of
helplessness,
disappointing. You got a negative response from people,
So to be honest, like, I'm not saying in the likes of Black Lives Movement, to be honest, like, I'm not saying it's either big or small, but I would just put in the same shoes. But like, to be honest, like, we were having protests across Aotearoa for Black Lives Movement, and I was personally one of them to be on the.
Yeah.
But to be honest, in Afghanistan, which over the past 2 decades, to be honest, the amount of human injustice that has happened and will continue to happen from now onwards, and to see that it's absolutely no one is talking about, which was absolutely disappointing, to be honest, in that regard. So there was for that two weeks, kind of my mental health state was quite in a bad state, to say the least. So I would encourage my fellow New Zealanders to see yourself around across the world and please talk for any injustice. Don't wait until something happens to your community, to your families, until you start talking about it.
Yeah.
Please do that. Whether it's what's happening in Kashmir since there are lockdowns since 2018, or what's happening in Myanmar, or what's in any part of the world. Yeah. Please do it. We've got, as everyday people, we have got that. We at least, that's in our power to talk. Just leave a post, just open a conversation, just leave a post on LinkedIn. Or Facebook or something like that, where you feel a safe space. So please talk about it. That's
a very good point.
Minimum that we could do.
And I think we also need to be aware that, you know, there are lots of people around us, our fellow Kiwis, who feel deeply about these issues because they have some personal connection as well. And so if we're saying nothing, then people like you are getting the message that actually we don't care. You know, or we're not interested. So it is important, I think, that people are informed about what's happening overseas and inform themselves, I suppose.
That is, like, to me, it's like education is such a key thing. Like, to me, it's like, it was kind of it was quite a subjective issue. Like, to me, it's like, if something similar would have happened in the US,
would have been
everyone would have talked to that. But it was just because, and also there's also quite, like, to me, people were targeting my religion.
Really?
There was all, like, a lot to myself.
Is this all online or is this face-to-face stuff as well?
The majority of them are online from what I've read. And then also, to be honest, get to meet people, quite mature people, to be honest, like talking about my religion or my ethnicity or my where I came. And there's like the sense that I gave, like to me, it's like the sense that I gave, like, it should be like the sense that I gave from the comments around me was like, it was right in the face. You guys should be on the face of it, or there was kind of the movement or the environment.
So was this just the comments that you received when Afghanistan was in the news, or is this a regular thing for you?
In terms of refugees, in terms of every time there is a talk, government put there for refugees.
Yeah,
this is quite constant from what I see. People say, refugees, we don't want any more refugees. There's a lot of I completely agree. To me, as we got in this country, we got a housing problem, we got a mental health problem. We need to focus on people, which is all correct on what we have at the moment. But if you look outside and why the world needs refugees, to me, especially in the case of Afghanistan, where we decided to send troops to Afghanistan, so there's the consequences of it. To be honest, and that was consistent. And every time there's a talk on refugees, people say, we don't want refugees, they are useless, they don't contribute to the wider society. But if I sit back and see, to be honest, like, what does our society does to support, nurture our refugee communities? But to be honest, like, refugees are one of the hardest working people, whether it's education or it's in the career space. But unfortunately, most of them comes with master's qualifications and they've got high experiences. But they do not work in New Zealand. We say, in order to get your master's, you need to go to do another 2 years of study education. If you are an engineer, you must start from zero. You cannot use your skills that you can. So in order to, like, how we can set a pathway to encourage them to find them better opportunities where they could better contribute, we kind of demolish those opportunities
So you'd like to see more recognition of the qualifications and experience that people come with?
And also, for my young person, a lot of young people that I see, for myself, my own experience, that for the first day when I came to school, I was looked at as someone being disabled.
That's how you felt.
To be honest, the intention was never, but to be honest, I was quite a good student. My English was quite good, but to be honest, like, every single day at school, I felt I was dumb. And the whole school environment just didn't suit me. I was 16 years old when I went to school. I was in an year, I should have been in year 11 or year 12 class. Yeah. I was used to be in year 10 classes, which used to make me feel like, to be honest, I'm not good enough every single day for 2 years, to be honest, from the outside. To be honest, like, it's got, and people, the way they look at us, they like look at us as someone being disabled, not being able to contribute. There was kind of the perceived motion that I received from my high school environment. I did a U skills course where I was 1 day at UCL. I just loved the environment with UCL presented. It was more independent. To be honest, and most of the time, the support which was offered was just phenomenal. Unfortunately, I'm not saying there's not support at school, but there was a huge amount of support. But it's just, it was in a way that
maybe people's expectations, that you felt people didn't expect much from you.
That's correct. To me, I remember I laughed one day in one of my lectures that I would become a PhD student because I've got I just love the doctor, I want to be doctor called Ali Muhammad. So that was kind of like, and then one of my teachers once said, like, I really don't think you will be able to get to university, to be honest. And that was kind of like, and I kind of looked back and I was like, I'll get to make it.
I'll prove you wrong.
There was not that kind of moment, but I will ensure that I get in. And this next week I'll be able to finish my degree, my first, and then hopefully my master's, and then as well as my PhD. Hopefully on the line I'll be able to achieve them.
So you've always had faith in yourself, haven't you? You know, despite all of this, you can do it.
Just reflecting back on what I was, to be honest, like, I've got one thing that I've been working on myself is always competing against myself.
Right.
Always just reflecting back what I was 10 years ago, what I was 5 years ago, what I was 2 years ago. And then, to be honest, like, and then just, and that kind of motivates me every single day. Like, to be honest, like I've come such a far journey and there's a whole big mountain still to climb, and then I can get to the top of it. So, the school environment could be significantly improved. And there's like, to me, I did a whole report that New Zealand Red Cross did in the first year of refugees that came to Aotearoa. And to me, there's the common consensus among refugees communities that we are looked at someone being not good enough. I'm talking of youth when they go to school. We are looked at, even most of us that have got good ambitions, have good language, we are still like, to me, it's like, I never needed English support when I was when I was school, but still I was given an English assistant support, which I'm grateful to, but I didn't need it. But that made me feel in a way where there was a teacher assistant with me in the whole class. Everyone used to look at me differently. And then those kind of experiences were just like, to me, it's just like, I'm not good enough every time. Like, I was used to, and then I was year 12 students at our chapel, so because in our chapel from year 12 and year 13, you can wear your own uniform, whatever all you wear to, and then from year 10, year 11 onwards, you must wear in school uniform. So I used to be year 12 or doing year 10 classes, and then I used to, like, everyone used to look at me differently. So they used to eat me in the class every single day, to be honest, like, and then so that kind of so that was kind of my experience. Like, I was there for a couple of years, and then I just wanted to get out of school, to be honest. It was just not my environment, and I just love the environment that you call possess, more inclusive. I didn't have support, and then I was just thrown into the deep zone. I'm kind of person, if you give me deadlines, give me the task, and I will be able to get to you. And just let me do the way I want to do it. So Nicole was fantastic in that regard. Yeah,
that's great. I mean, I think it's very telling that the sort of difficult experience you had at school, and certainly I've interviewed other young people who've had similarly difficult experiences at high school. And so, I mean, there's probably a lot more to say about that, but we have unfortunately run out of time. But look, it's been great to talk to you today. Thanks for sharing so much of your experience and your thoughts about what it's been like settling into Palmy. And I think, you've got a great future ahead of you. Your degree is finishing next week. You've got your refereeing career taking off. And I wish you all the best for the future, Ali.
Thank you very much, Lorna. It's been a pleasure coming here to you. It's like, I never think of me being here. So yeah, it's been great. Again, thank you very, very much for having me. Yeah.
You're very welcome. So people who've been listening to Making Palmy Home, I'm Lorna Johnson. You can catch the podcast on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.